Hey, everybody. What you're about to hear is a free preview of a podcast on our $5 exclusive episodes tier at patreon.com/retronauts. And if you want to hear the whole thing, please go to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up at the $5 exclusive episodes tier. Once you do that, you'll get access to all of our previous exclusive episodes and our future ones as well, as long as you remain a patron, and our exclusive episodes will launch every other Friday. Again, that is the Retronauts Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts, and I'll let you get to this free preview of one of our exclusive episodes. Yeah, I mean, watching the opening scenes of them playing D&D, I just thought, oh, Stranger Things wishes. It wishes it could do this.
You mentioned D&D, though. I think throughout the movie, though, there are lots of these little things there, like the kids hanging out and playing games and talk about stuff and all that stuff. You know, obviously now it is somewhat dated, but at the time it was extremely of the time in a way that you didn't often see. You know, like there's this dialogue about, you know, someone playing Asteroids, and I think the older brother's got like a Space Invaders T-shirt, and of course Elliot's, you know, obviously. There's some, you know, collusion there because Spielberg and Lucas, but Elliot's bedroom is full of Star Wars stuff. He's got Star Wars sheets. I absolutely had those Star Wars sheets. So it's like for kids at that moment looking at Elliot on screen, like it's everything there. So, oh my God, this could be me. This could be my room. Obviously, you know, I don't have the forest behind my house, but still so much of this stuff felt, you know, laser targeted kids in a way that I don't think a lot of movies really since could pull off. Like, I don't know how they managed to write and produce and get all this stuff in such a, just have it be so spot on without, you know, this weird stuff about, you know, playing with, I don't know, like wind up toys or something. No, these kids are playing with the toys that absolutely they would have played with if they were, you know, they're, you know, offset.
I love when Elliot is naming his Star Wars toys by name to E.T., which are the names. He's like, well, this is Greedo, this is Slughead.
Boba Fett.
I mean, E.T., yeah. he exists in the Star Wars universe. He's probably like, I know Boba Fett. We've hung out before.
I've heard of that guy. He's scary.
Spielberg was a childless guy, a big nerd in his mid-30s. He was playing with all these toys. He was playing all these video games. We'll talk more about that later. But I think a lot of it came from him and what he was into, which is why, like, there's a mention of Asteroids. I really love the characters, like the little boys, their interests really inform E.T. of how awful humans are, because when he first meets Michael in the movie, Michael is wearing the Space Invaders T-shirt, and it's like the images of a ship killing aliens. So
right,
it's like, welcome
right.
to Earth, E.T. This is what we think of you. And also when Elliot is showing off the action figures, he's like, you can make them kill each other. Look. And it's just like, E.T. is the opposite of that. He's on the opposite vibe. But these first impressions are really bad of humanity, I think, for him. So a very nice touch in the movie that, yeah, it's obvious, but it's one of those things I was like, oh, this is cool, is that this is a very small cast. This cast is like the movie is such laser focused on maybe like four characters for most of it. And in terms of the adults you see, Elliot's mom, I believe her name is Mary. I think her name is Mary, but you only see her face in the first half of the movie. That's the only adult face you see. Everything else is shot from a very kid POV. All the adult faces are either obscured or cast in shadows. One character who seems to be the villain at first, he's only identified by his jangly keys. And I think his name in the script is just called Keys. And I thought this would be the case for the entire movie because I forgot how it went. But when you first see another adult face, it's almost shocking. You're like, I forgot what an adult human looked like when you see Keys's face by the end. And I think that's to show you, he's not a faceless villain. He's actually kind of a grown-up version of Elliot, a very curious man who is not a villain. This movie is optimistic in a very unrealistic but heartwarming way, and I do like that.
Yeah. I completely forgot that amazing choice of how that they obscure every face. Like it reminds me kind of the, you know, probably for Spielberg growing up, Peanuts, they never show in the Charlie Brown stuff. They never show the parent or adult faces. And that's it's a very similar vibe of just, this is the world of children. And only your mom is the only adult you actually like know in that world.
Yeah. And so you've got kids and you've got E.T. who is basically the size of the kids. And if you think about it, I don't think there are any scenes in the movie where you see something that a kid or E.T. doesn't see. You know what I mean? Like, there's no scenes of adults talking. There's no scenes of anyone discussing the events from outside. So it's like the entire movie basically exists only from either a kid sees this or, E.T., you know, in the case of the aliens, you know, you get some E.T. stuff. But mostly it's mostly focused on these kids. And, you know, it stays there. It never leaves their side. And, you know, like I said, the low angle stuff, everyone is sort of out of shot, or, you know, they walk through things, and it does help. Cause I, you know, this is a movie that I hadn't seen since childhood. And so watching it, I thought there was more of a villain aspect, but even, yeah, there's not really, like, they're scary because they're wearing the hazmat suits, or whatever, but ultimately the doctors and stuff, they aren't actually doing anything evil. But as a kid, those scenes terrify me because, like, oh no, all of a sudden all these adults around me. Oh my God, that's scary. But when you actually watch it and pay attention to what they're saying, and, you know, Peter Coyote talks about, oh, I've dreamed of this ever since I was a little boy. It's like, oh, he's just a guy. He's, you know, he's not here to hurt anybody, but he's, you know, he might hurt them by accident because he's trying to keep them separated. But ultimately he's no monster. You know?
Yeah, I appreciate how optimistic the movie is. I think I've just been so radicalized by the last 40 years of our government doing everything wrong and the most evil things possible. I go into the movie thinking, oh yeah, the government's evil. They're going to kill E.T. They're going to send this family to a black site. They'll never see the light of day again. That's probably how it would happen in real life. Elliot's family would just be wiped from the face of the earth. They would just burn their social security numbers. You never see them again. And they would just tear apart E.T. and look for oil, probably.
But yeah, or maybe they would just, you know, set them up as like, oh, actually they had, they were a drug ring and then they died in a shootout with the police, you know, that, and yeah, I know when I rewatched it recently, and saw like, they left the boy alone, they leave Elliot alone with the corpse of E.T. I was like, no way. They're not chopping him up the second he's dead. Like, well, he's dead. Let's pull him apart and get every nutrient out of this guy we can.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad the movie ends as soon as he leaves, because I'm like, is Elliot's entire family just being arrested after this, put into custody, or at least quarantine? I believe like Keyes at one point is talking to Elliot's mom about like, you're going to go away for a few weeks, but you can come back. I think there's some talk of like, because you became in contact with this alien, you can't be around the public anymore. We have to make sure you're not carrying his diseases or anything like that.
They all died 2 weeks after the movie. That's why there's no sequel. Yeah. They all died of a space disease from
E.T. gave them all viruses.
Yes, yeah.
It's very sad.
Actually, it killed the whole planet. It started with them. They're patient zero. That's a real sequel.
There is no sequel because civilization collapsed. E.T. accomplished his mission. But no, like the government people, they're there to help. They want to revive E.T. And yes, they will cut him up when he dies. Why wouldn't you? See what makes this little guy tick. But they're there because they're like interested in him. But yes, ultimately E.T. needs to go back home. And one last thing about the production is, you hear this name a lot lately, but this was the first movie that Kathleen Kennedy was attached to as a producer at the age of 30. So yes, her name is attached to everything huge, especially now, but this was her first big deal as a producer.
Yeah, it was her and her husband, Frank Marshall, worked a ton. Everything in the 80s with Amblin, they had their fingers on. Like, they are key to a lot of the films you love. Yeah, I know there's a lot of Star Wars anger towards Kathleen Kennedy as, like, the steward of Star Wars for a while, which, obviously, I think that's dumb. But I think especially I think it's silly that the people who treat her as like some outsider or whatever put in charge is like she worked on every single movie you grew up loving, like pretty much if you are our age or slightly younger. Like, so I don't get that. But yes, it's funny that it all kind of begins here and it's just onward upwards. And now she's like, one of the things she's producing at the Star Wars TV shows now is a Stranger Things alike, which I think is totally fine because they ripped off E.T., so she can rip them off right back with a kids in the Star Wars universe Disney Plus series.
Yes, she's earned it.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of deleted scenes, there's not a lot. Like, I think the 2002 version is maybe like 6 minutes longer or something. There's like more scenes with Elliot and E.T. at home. I think he like takes a bath or something. And there's more scenes of like Halloween at night, like the havoc of Halloween in the early 80s. And then the one scene of note I mentioned before is Elliot is called into the principal's office. He's Harrison Ford. Elliot is chastised for being drunk. And Elliot's chair starts levitating while the principal's back is turned. And that's essentially it. But I think it was taken out because it's like it was not necessary. And also it's like, well, everyone knows this is Harrison Ford. Raiders came out last year. It's very distracting that he's in this movie. So there you have it.
It's also his most energetic performance in like ever. Like he, because you can't see his face, like he's working his hands. He's doing a lot of gestures. He's doing some kind of like accent or voice work. Like it sounds like him, you know, it's him, but it's almost like it's completely unlike any other acting he's ever done. So it is sort of like when you watch it, it's almost distracting. Like what is he going for? Is he just, yeah, is Spielberg off camera shouting more, give me more. It's like, he's going so big.
I think we need to shroud him in darkness to make him act better. just put him in a dark room and put some night vision cameras on him. He'll come to life. Although now he might fall asleep. He's like 85 years old, right?
Oh, yes. He's going to be a huge action star in Indiana Jones 5, guys. You'll see.
He won't be saying anything or doing anything in this new movie.